Hi, Simon Sharwood here, Chief Editor of TechTarget Australia New Zealand. Now, McAfee has a bunch of senior executives in Sydney this week. I understand there's a sales event of some sort going on, and rumours suggest that there are cast members of The Big Bang Theory presenting. I'd love to interview those guys, but of course, we need to interview the McAfee executives. Now, one of those is Mike Sentonas, APAC Chief Technology Officer for the company. And another that we've got is Candace Worley, Senior Vice President and General Manager for Endpoint Security. You'll hear Mike later in this conversation, but the first voice you'll hear is that of Candace, who responds to my question, asking her to outline the main trends that she sees in endpoint security.
So there's, I would say, two key things that I'm seeing that have significant impact. The first is around just the proliferation of non-PC IP-enabled devices.
Yep.
We talked quite a bit here and in Sydney as well around the fact that, you know, it's no longer just a PC, a server, a desktop, or even...
Okay. How many attacks are you seeing directed at those platforms? Because I remember back in 1999, Computer Associates released antivirus for Palm. There were no Palm viruses then, and there are no Palm viruses now.
Yeah, so the mobile attacks are not necessarily on the device themselves, and they're still nascent. We're not seeing, you know, boatloads of new attacks for mobile phones. However, lots of people are very interested in the data that resides on those phones and are, let's say, experimenting with ways in which they may be able to capture data from those devices, whether that be through remote access or if they happen to get a hold of the device itself.
Okay, who are these people, and how do you know that there are lots of them?
So I think our McAfee Labs researchers spend quite a little time searching the net. You know, they've got honeypots, other methods for identifying potentially malicious IP addresses, servers, those kinds of things that have been set up to track data that may be available on the net. And so through McAfee Labs, we're able to identify...
Okay, so I mean, are you starting to set up mobile honeypots? What do they look like?
They are servers that basically scan data coming across the internet looking for potentially malicious activity or files, and essentially feeding that data into the research organization to identify whether or not it is bad data, good data, bad activity, those kinds of things.
Okay, well, you said that there's nascent threats on mobile platforms. Are you doing specific research there?
We've been doing specific research in that area for a number of years now. And, you know, we continually look at things like the Droid platform, we look at the iPhone platform, we look at Windows Mobile. You know, it's all about looking for potential threat as well as realized threats. So what could happen on the device versus what is actually happening on the device today?
I think there's another important distinction to make here, and that is that typically people exploit or attack devices that are broadly proliferated because they can get the best leverage, so to speak, out
yep,
of...
Yep, understand. You don't attack a tiny platform.
Okay. Right. So as we begin to see things like new types of devices, whether it's an iPad, an iPhone, a smartphone of any kind, becoming more pervasive in corporate environments, it makes them a more attractive target. And if you start to think about the people inside these organizations that are most likely to be leveraging these types of platforms, they're often, you know, the upper echelons of the organization are the highly...
Okay. I take the point that it's great to get a senior executive's email password. Because,
sure,
you know, that's a gateway to all sorts of fun. But there's, what, 50, 100 million BlackBerries in the world? You know, there's one in the hands of the President of the USA. We've not seen a great number of attacks on that platform, partly because the platform is a curated, it's a closed platform. It's not like a PC ecosystem where it's far easier to get in.
What's interesting about a lot of the mobile technologies is the standard approach or the standard focus on those types of devices is the threat landscape. And, you know, what that typically means in reality is everyone's interested about the malware that targets those devices. I think what everybody is quick to forget at the moment is the applications that are on those devices. So if you look at, you know, your Android platform that supports open source communities, people that jailbreak iPhones as an example, you don't actually know where the applications are developed, who they're developed by, and what they're designed
to. You can say that of any application on any platform.
Absolutely, you can. But when you can go to an open source community and download, you know, several hundred thousands of apps, and more and more people are bringing in these organizations to organizations and extending the corporate boundary, you need to start to have a look at the data that may
be. How though is this, you know, worse or a greater risk than a PC environment where you can download a great number of pieces of shareware or freeware? And, you know, some of the most widely used programs for everyday tasks like FTP or web browsing are open source.
The biggest difference, I think, well, one of the biggest differences that I would look at is the fact that, you know, you can go and buy a number of different types of tablet, netbooks, iPad-type devices and bring them inside the organisation and connect them to the network. And really, they fly under the radar and most people won't even know that they're there. So they can communicate, they can get an IP address, they can do all sorts of things on the network.
If you admit them to the network.
You'd be surprised that majority of organisations wouldn't even know that they were connecting to the network.
Well, hang on. How exactly does one connect one of these consumer devices to the network without a logon or without, you know, at the very least, a Wi-Fi password?
There's a number of things that you could do. You could do something as easy as redirect your corporate email to a private email address on an iPad, as an example. You could walk inside an organization and get an IP address if the organization's got wireless access. It would come to no surprise to anyone in the IT space that, you know, users do interesting things like set up wireless access points or have unsecured networks. It's not something that, you know, is 100% under control in every sort of organization. So, you know, most organizations need to start to think about these types of consumer devices that are faster, cheaper, are going to come into their organization, and they need to look at ways of managing them.
Okay, Carol?
So if we go back to the trends, that first trend is really this expansion of IP-enabled devices, and they go beyond mobile devices. So if we look at things like many of the photocopiers or printers that are in people's organizations today are also IP-enabled. They have significant memory and disk where images and information is stored, and that information is often not secured in any fashion outside of whatever security may be in place on the network itself. If that device goes in for maintenance or whatever, not a huge risk, agreed, but longer term, as more and more of these devices become IP-enabled and have storage capacity, it becomes something that, at minimum, the IT organization needs to be able to audit, track, and be aware of. The second trend that we're seeing is really consumerization. And depending upon who you talk to, I'd say consumerization is defined as two things. The first might be that whole idea of, you know, this plethora of devices, whether enterprise-focused or consumer, that are now IP-enabled. You know, for example, the OnStar car that is now connected to the Internet. But the other component of this that I'm consistently hearing from customers is this idea of bring your own PC, this concept that corporations may, in fact, open up their network to privately own devices and allow their employees to actually use their home PC or a personally owned laptop.
Yeah, the corollary to that I hear is that they're also saying you don't bring that thing through our door unless you're booting into the environment that we give you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can't touch our network until you're running a VM that we give you.
Yeah, and I think absolutely the two things that I hear customers saying when they're considering this is that there are two primary ways that they envision being able to address a secure corporate sandbox, so to speak, on that individual's home system. One might be a virtualized machine, right, where they log into the corporate network through a secure VPN, they download their corporate image, it's kind of sandboxed on that personal machine, and data can't really leave it, at least not in a sanctioned way. So that's one aspect. The other is potentially a PC on a stick, right, where you actually have your entire corporate image on a USB stick that is encrypted and secure and requires authentication as a way of enabling this particular trend to come to fruition. And, you know, there are security implications to both. You have to make sure any data, that's corporate data, is secured and encrypted, whether that's left in the corporate VM or put on that USB stick. Any data that leaves those environments and perhaps gets stored to a local drive, if that's allowed, is encrypted and requires authentication at the file folder level. Those types of things are all significant security concerns that IT organizations are going to have to kind of grapple with as they make a decision on whether or not the benefits of consumerization outweigh the risks.